Missionary Doug Nichols was a patient in a tuberculosis ward in India in 1967. Patients and staff saw him as a rich American taking up space in their hospital. Their hostility was evident as they refused the gospel tracts he offered them. One morning, at 2 o'clock, a very sick Indian man struggled to get out of bed to go to the bathroom, but he was too weak to make it. Soon the stench from his bed filled the room. Other patients yelled at him. Nurses showed their anger for having to clean up the mess. One slapped him. The next night, the old man tried again to get up, but again fell backward. He began to cry. Doug, weak himself, went over, picked him up, and carried him to the bathroom and back to bed. What a change came over that hospital ward. One patient gave Doug a steaming cup of Indian tea, motioning that he wanted a tract. Nurses, interns, and doctors asked for booklets or Gospels of John, and several eventually received Christ. What changed their attitude? Doug had exemplified the Savior, who made himself of no reputation, but took the form of a servant and humbled himself. We are called to do the same. Sometimes loving is unpleasant, but that's when it speaks the loudest. James 4:1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend with the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell within us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Jesus said, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Ephesians 4:1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And then 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. This passage from Philippians is all about humility. It's all about Christ's love and embodying Christ. Christ who was willing to be beaten for us. Christ who was willing to be a person, not to hold on to who he is, which is part of the triune God. Not to be in a place where he is worshipped day and night, but to come to us, to take on flesh, to feel our pain, to be disappointed, to be betrayed, and then to die on a cross. I wanted to share two personal stories about humility, and one of the challenges of being here now almost 3 years is I go, did I share that before? If I did, I apologize. But I'll bet you wouldn't remember it, right? We don't remember sermons. I don't anyway for a couple of weeks. Maybe it'll be fresh if I did tell you. Did I tell you about when I went bowling? No? Yeah, I did? Okay, so the story goes, and I'll shorten it since I have told it, because I want to make a point from the story. That when I went bowling in Sitka, I got really mad. Sitka is in Alaska. I was with a mission team, and I got really mad because I was playing so badly. If you ever have a need to build yourself up, take me bowling. You will feel wonderful. Me, not so much, and I won't play unless you set up the bumpers. Because gutters are attracted to my ball. What can I say? Every single time, they're attracted to my ball. And I was so embarrassed. And there was another lady on the team that played it with the worst form ever, and even she beat me. And people started making fun of me for how, oh, Mary, another gutter ball. And they didn't mean anything by it. They were just being friends. But I was sensitive. And I was really, really silly, right? And so I left in a huff. I'm walking down the street of Sitka. I didn't even want to ride home with them. Making fun of me. I heard God's voice. Humble thyself. No, it was the song. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. What? Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Have you ever been annoyed by God's voice? I think that's the one and only time he sang to me. And I didn't like it. Well, it was like a 20-minute walk from the bowling alley back to the mission. By the time I got back, I was thoroughly convicted. And I went in and I behaved myself. And I have to confess, from time to time, I still hear the song. It's my favorite song, and it's the one I hate the most at the same time. Because it reminds me that we need to be humble, that I need to be humble. And the question I asked myself when I was thinking about this, how important is humility to God that he would sing to me about being humbled in his sight over a bowling game? He meant more, didn't he, than a bowling game. The second story is very much related to this passage, and when I was writing out the sermons, you know, spreading the passages out, I'm going, ooh, that's a really important passage to me. And the reason it's important is I went through a time when I was being ordained that I had this woman that was opposed to me. I don't even know why she was so opposed to me. I never did know. But she could not stand me. And she decided that she was going to block my ordination in every way she could. And the interesting thing was she had no authority to do so. But she had authority over the people who were making the decision. Okay? They were scared of her because she had power over them. And so the presbytery, this was when I was presbytery, and the presbytery kept adding and adding and adding requirements. And in the end, I realized they didn't have the right to do that, and I shut it down. But before then, it was time for them to approve me. I already had my call. I was serving as a chaplain. Everything was in order. And she came to the meeting of the committee where they were going to authorize my ordination. And she said, you will not ordain Mary Hendrickson. Okay. And they said, why not? She's done everything we've asked of her. You will not ordain her because she has an anger problem. And I will not stand behind that ordination unless she has a year's worth of counseling. They didn't have an anger problem. They negotiated with her, negotiated it to 4. Understand what she had actually said. She had declared me unfit for ministry. And I was so shocked and hurt, and I was devastated. I went into my sanctuary. I was on staff at a church at the time. Went into my sanctuary, and there's a cross similar to this one. It was over to the side. And I'm looking at the cross, and I remembered this passage. And what Betty read is what is in every translation. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. But I had studied this passage in Greek, and I remembered what I had read. It actually, in the really deepest translation, says, he humiliated himself. He allowed himself to be humiliated, to die, even on a cross, which was the worst form of punishment for the worst criminals. And I remember, I will never forget this, I remember staring at that cross and crying and saying, is that what this has come to, Lord? That you're asking me to be humiliated for you. And as I spent time with him, I came to understand that, yeah, I just needed to put one foot in front of the other. And I said, okay, so be it. And I agreed. The church secretary and the, this just makes me smile, church secretary at the time was furious about all of this. My whole church was outraged. They had an anger problem. They were outraged. And she looked at me, she said, promise me something. I said, what's that? Promise me that you'll choose the most expensive counselor you can find, because the presbytery was paying for it. And I said, well, I don't know, I'll have to find somebody. So I did. I went to the counseling, and I said, I don't know why I'm here, but this is what's been said. And no matter what, I need to be counseled for this whole process and what it's done to me. Long story short, the last day I saw him, he said, you do have an anger problem. You're not angry enough. It was quite the experience. I have never forgotten that we are called sometimes to be humiliated. Humbled isn't far enough. We are to become so much nothing that we'll do whatever Christ asks of us, period. In 1 Corinthians 13, very familiar passage, it says this, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, oops, that's not humility, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love, do you know it? Some of you know it from memory. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And this is the hard one. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. The humility must come out of that love. Must come out of that love. There's no humility except from God and out of his love for us and our love for him and for our neighbor. Rick Warren wrote, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's not going, I am a worm on the ground. That's not humility. Humility is thinking about yourself less. Right? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's about thinking about yourself less. I heard a speaker last week at Midwinter talking about humility. And of course, knowing what I'm preaching today, I'm taking notes furiously because I'm thinking there's going to be some wisdom here that I can share. And she said, true humility is about agreeing with God about who you are. I'm pondering that one. It's also agreeing with God about who He is. If we understand who we are, and if we understand who He is, then humility won't be so hard. What would God say? Who would God say that we are? Who are we? Say, too many, too fast. What? We are His? His beloved? His children of God? We see that in there. Joint heirs in the promise. Yeah, awesome. But it also says, Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are. And to dust you will return. That's the dust to dust, ashes to ashes that we hear at memorial services and funerals. We are these things. We are children of God. But why are we children of God? Because of Christ. Without Christ, we're dust. Who is God? You know who He is. Who is He? Our Father. I am Creator. Master. It's worth reflecting on who God is. Most important, though, is to understand this. We are not God. Sometimes we act like we are. We do not deserve to be worshipped. We deserve punishment for our sins. Everything that we are given comes from the grace of God, not because we're entitled to it. God owns us. We don't own ourselves. And see, that's countercultural, right? That's countercultural, but so is Christianity in its purest form. 1 Corinthians 6 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you and whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. How do we respond to the price that was paid for each one of us? Humility is the natural response. Who am I? We sang. Who am I that God would use me? Who are we, Mission Covenant Church, that we would be so special, that we're promoted in this huge arena? But it's about humility. We get to be God's people. That's a privilege. We get to be His church. That's a privilege. Do we realize how much we've been forgiven? And then the question becomes, how much do we love Jesus? Do we love Him enough to lay down our lives and to embrace His within us? Enough to be humiliated for Him? This series is called Come Find Joy. So how do you find joy in being humble? Nobody's finding joy in it. It's like, it's not joyful. I don't want to be humble. Huge privilege. Thank you.
Knowing that that's what God wants of us and what for.
Knowing that we're pleasing God, that's joyful. It is for me. But you know what else? When we are humble and it isn't about us, when it truly isn't about us, do you know the freedom? When you realize that not everything rests on you, not everything rests on me, knowing it doesn't have to be perfect, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be my way or the highway. We can let go of perfection. We can let go of control. We can find freedom in Christ. That is joy right there. Do you realize it? The joy that comes from saying, you know what? I'm going to work really hard to make somebody else look good instead of myself. And not even let them know I'm doing it. Wow. That's humility. And it's beautiful to see, as Mercedes shared, it's beautiful to see the joy in someone else when that's what we do. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. It has a nice ring to it. It has a nice ring to it when you realize the freedom and the love that God has. It has a nice ring. Let us pray. Dear Lord, it's not about us. And Lord, that is the sin, to worship something or someone other than you. Lord, help us not to be idolatrous, worshiping ourselves, worshiping things, but to be faithful. To worship you alone, and in doing so, to realize we are nothing, but we are everything with your power. We are not anything that we can boast about. All we can boast about is you. Thank you for the gift of humility. As we go from this place, may we understand how you would have each of us respond. It's in your name we pray. Amen.